Rhythm. In this section, we're going to talk about offering an individualized practice and moving rhythmically. Let's start with the individualized practice. Yoga is not a performance sport. Unlike ballet, where the focus is on what the body looks like and the emphasis is on ballerinas moving together identically and synchronistically, the focus of yoga is more about what it feels like in the body and what each individual needs in each moment. While it may look impressive for a class to move gracefully together, in our yoga classes, we want to encourage our students to make choices based on their own needs and find their own individualized practice within the class. I've heard yoga teachers complaining about their students doing different versions or different postures or practices than what they're offering in class. I believe that creating an individualized practice needs to be celebrated, not frowned upon. Try supporting your students to make choices and find their own personalized practice within the class and celebrate them when they do. Throughout the class, try offering your students a couple of variations of each pose or sequence. So too many choices can be confusing, especially for someone who is depressed or anxious. But try offering a couple of variations, as well as the option to always come back into child's pose or any other comfortable position at any time. Be mindful of the way you offer choice and the language that you use when you do. Often teachers will offer choice, but present it in a way that makes one variation seem better than the other. For example, a teacher might say, "Lift your back foot off the floor, but if you're not strong enough or flexible enough, just keep it on the floor for now." So this communicates to the student that there is a correct way to do the pose and that the variation is only available if you're not good enough to do it the right way. Instead, perhaps we can say, "If you're feeling stable today, you might experiment with lifting the back foot off the floor. Or if that doesn't feel right in your body right now, leave the back foot where it is and sense the ground underneath both of your feet." This languaging directs the student to their internal experience and supports them to make a choice based on their needs in the moment, not on getting it right. And perhaps instead of using words like modifications or easier and harder versions or the correct version, try offering different variations or versions of the pose. We're going to be talking more about this in the languaging section, so stay tuned. At the beginning of class and gently threaded throughout the class, try offering students the option of coming into Balasana or child's pose or any other pose they like at any time. Encourage your students to listen to their body and rest or pause whenever needed. So this might mean coming into child's pose or perhaps Tadasana, mountain pose, or constructive rest, depending on what works in your class and what works for the student. I found that most people love Balasana, child's pose, but it doesn't work for everybody. So be willing to vary the posture for some students or offer another posture like Tadasana or constructive rest instead. I've heard from teachers about students who came to their classes and spent most of it in Balasana or Shavasana. And then the teacher checked in with them afterwards and they said they had a wonderful class and just being in the room, doing a few postures and listening to the teacher was a wonderful experience. Just because it may not look like a student is fully engaged in the class, it doesn't mean that they aren't or that they aren't getting something from it. Let's celebrate the path of making our practices our own and support our students to find sattva or balance in their own way. If, as yoga teachers, we value our students honoring their needs and their truth over our instruction and over getting it right, so too will they. Here's some ways that I've communicated this in my class. "I'm not interested in you doing a picture-perfect pose. I'm interested in you listening to your body and what it needs in this moment and practicing in a way that honors that. To me, that's what yoga is." Or I've also said, make this your own practice. So I'm offering you suggestions, but it's not my practice, it's yours. Make it your own. Or maybe you could say, in a world that's so focused on looking good and getting it right, let's take a radical stance when we practice yoga and focus on what feels good and feels right in our bodies and practice like that. Or perhaps we could even say, I know how difficult it is to do something different. It's hard to stand out when everyone is doing something else, and it's seductive to do a pose like everyone else is doing just so you don't stand out. I want you to know that if you choose to do a different variation or to do a different pose altogether than the one I'm offering, know that I'm not judging you. I'm silently cheering you on, and I'm endlessly impressed with your courage. When I've expressed my ideas about encouraging students to do a personalized practice, yoga teachers have expressed concern that the student is coming to the class to learn from the teacher and should respect the teacher and do what they offer, or that it might be disruptive for the other students. My belief is that the yoga teacher is there to guide students to their inner experience and wisdom, not to teach them to do bendy shapes with their body in unison like in a classical ballet class. The bendy shapes are simply a vehicle to cultivate sattva and our inner wisdom. And as yoga teachers, we're missing the point if we mistake asana for the deeper purpose of yoga and insist our students do the exact postures and the practices that we're teaching. However, there may be some times when an individualized practice may not be appropriate. If a student is significantly disrupting the other students, or if they're constantly pushing themselves and doing more challenging variations or practices rather than honoring their body and breath in the moment, it might be worth having a quiet word with the student. A student who is consistently pushing themselves may have an eating disorder or body image issue and be using yoga as a way to berate their body and need support to lovingly reside in it instead. A student who is disrupting others may like to have a private class that's more tailored to their needs. Let's turn now to look at moving rhythmically. While we want to encourage our students to listen to their internal needs and create their own practices that bring them personally to a state of sattva, moving or practicing together as a group can be beneficial too. Individuals experiencing depression and anxiety often report feeling lonely, and those who have experienced trauma often feel disconnected and out of sync with others. In his book, The Body Keeps Score, Bessel van der Kolk writes about the importance of communal rhythms and synchronicity in overcoming trauma. And in their book, Overcoming Trauma Through Yoga, Emerson and Hopper suggest creating intrapersonal and interpersonal rhythms in trauma-sensitive yoga classes to overcome this sense of disconnection and dyssynchrony with the self and other. Let's look at intrapersonal rhythms. An intrapersonal rhythm is a rhythm that we create internally, matching our movement to our breath. For many years when I was teaching yoga, I would ask my students to link their movement to their breath, but that was pretty much all the instruction I gave them. I don't think many of the students actually understood what this meant, and my other cues weren't particularly consistent with this. In a group class, it's very easy to fall into the habit of telling students when to inhale and when to exhale. For example, in a cat-cow sequence, we might say, let's inhale and come into cow, and then now let's exhale and come into cat, and continue talking our students through this several times. Another way to cue this that invites students to explore their intrapersonal rhythms might be, wait for your inhalation and then move into cow, feeling the full length of the inhalation with the movement. And then wait for the exhalation, and when it arrives, move slowly into cat, again feeling the full length of the exhalation with the movement. Repeat this sequence 5 more times, moving with the rhythm of your own breath, and then coming into child's pose when you're done. Or if it's a more complex sequence or a sequence that the class hasn't practiced before, we could guide the students through the practice initially as a group, being more explicit with cueing the breath. But then once they have the hang of it, invite them to practice in sync with their own breathing rhythm. When chanting Om's, we could invite the class to chant at their own pace rather than all together. My friend Lizzie Turner from the Yoga Shack in North Byron says, Om sound better like the waves of the ocean rather than as a choir. Let's look at interpersonal rhythms now. An interpersonal rhythm is one that we create with others, matching our movements, breath, or sounds with another. So this can be done in partners or with the entire class moving, breathing, or chanting together. If you've ever been to a led Ashtanga Vinyasa class or been to Kirtan, you know how powerful it can be to move or chant together in sync with others. When guiding this, try having a good pace and rhythm in the class, slow enough so your students can be present in their body and not feel rushed, but not too slow, which could allow for drifting off or disassociation. While it's important to always give students choice when engaging in any practice, you could invite your students to move together as a class, either with you leading the class through the sequence or by asking the students to move together in a simple sequence without you leading them, so they need to be aware of the group as they move. Chanting a mantra can be a simple and delightful way to create interpersonal rhythms in class. I will often begin each class chanting Om's together in order to create this interpersonal rhythm. So, thanks for joining me so much for this rhythmic lecture. We looked at creating an individualized practice as well as intrapersonal and interpersonal rhythms in your class. I hope it's inspired you to try some of these out in your classes. I'll see you over in the next video.